You're listening to the Sabina Road Baptist Sermon Series. We hope this message greatly impacts your life. For more information on the mission and ministries of Sabina Road Baptist Church in Tucson, Arizona, visit us online at sabinaroad.org.
I want you to know that the pastor that's standing before you today is not grabbing these off of the internet. I'm having to live it, and it stinks sometimes. So I want you guys to know, I know when you go through difficulties in life how bad it can be. And just pray for your pastor, okay? It's been a rough few weeks, and but God's in control. And we're going to be obedient to what He has for us. Whatever that means. Amen? Do you support me in that? Will you pray for me? Thank you. Let's go to 1 Samuel. And again, this is probably going to be a 3 or 4 week series. Last week we looked at a couple of these, obedient and disobedient terms. Now, if you weren't here last week, in 1 Samuel 13 and 14, there are two great stories. And we read through all those chapters, both chapters, last week. And we'll probably do that the next time that we preach. But right now, let me just fill you in on 1 Samuel 13. Saul, the leader of the nation of Israel, head and shoulders above everyone, good-looking guy, probably looks a lot like me. And he is, why are you guys laughing? And he is chosen to be the leader, but he's got a bad heart. So Saul comes against the Philistines, boy, and they are tough. And Saul is scared to death. And in 1 Samuel 13, and you can read it while I'm talking, I guess. In 1 Samuel 13, it talks about how he is scared to death, he's afraid, and all the men with him are afraid as well. And in the middle of this, then Jonathan, his son, goes ahead and attacks. And so Saul just looks up, what's going on? He blows the horn and lets everyone know, wow, Israel had a great victory today. So he kind of stole the victory from his son. Y'all with me? Lots of times we do that. Now, 1 Samuel 14 is about Jonathan. Oh, I love Jonathan. Now, Jonathan's a young guy. And Jonathan has an armor bearer, even smaller, younger than he is. I mean, a teenager. And Jonathan is sitting out there with his armor bearer, and he looks at him and he says, do you think God can save by few or by many? In other words, do you think God has to have a full army to do something? Or could he do it with just one person? And the armor bearer said, yeah, I believe God can do anything. So they look up at the Philistines that are up on the camp, way up high on the mountain. And he says, if we yell up to them and they say, we'll come down and see you, then God's not in it. But if we yell up at them and they say, come here, then God's in it. Do you think that God can save by few or by many? Yeah. And the armor bearer tells them, do whatever's in your heart. I'm with you. Oh, I love that. Teamwork, man, it's great. So Jonathan yells up at them. And what do they say? Come here, we'll show you something. So sure enough, Jonathan and the armor bearer climb up, getting skinned knees and all this kind of stuff. And they go up to the top and they rout the guys. They kill several of them. And we'll get into this later, maybe in the next couple of weeks. The whole nation is energized by it. Again, they kind of wake up like in 1 Samuel 13 and say, what's going on? And then they come and they defeat the Philistines. Now there's several things between these two chapters that we need to look at. And again, I've entitled the sermon, Yay or Nay, or Unfaithful or Faithful, or Obedient or Disobedient. So take your pick. It's one of those free sermons to you. But there's several things. There's about 8 or 9 that I want to look at. And we won't look at all of them today. Hallelujah. But I want you to look at a few of them. Last week, we looked at a couple of them. And I just have these kind of a compare contrast. If you guys remember last week, we said that when you're obedient, like Jonathan in chapter 14, you're going to spend time with other people who are obedient or faithful as well. Who's he with? The armor bearer. It specifically says in chapter 14, verse 1, it says that his father did not know where he was. He had moved away from his father. Jonathan is out there closer to the battle than his father. And his father's back in the bushes, scared to death. By the way, the men that Jonathan is leading, this armor bearer, strong. Little scrawny kid, but strong of heart, because he believes. The men that are with Saul, the king, these are fighting men. And their hearts, they're scared to death. They're bailing out left and right. They're under trees, hiding. They're scared. Guys, if you profess to lead anything, you need to have a strong heart. It's not the size of the dog in the fight, but it's the size of the fight the dog. You guys heard that? I think that's in the Bible somewhere. I'm not sure. It's not. But where's your heart? Can God use a few or many? He can use one. He can use one. If our hearts are right. Amen? Now, if you're disobedient, you will spend time with those who are unfaithful. Man, my youth director years ago used to say, you become like those whom you spend the bulk of your time with. Who are you spending time with? Are they good, honest, faithful, trusting people? Or do they detract? Do they suck the life out of you? Are they negative? Who do you spend time with? You will become like those who you spend the bulk of your time with. Look back at Saul, chapter 13, verse 3 and 4. Jonathan attacked and defeated the Philistine garrison. And then Saul blew the trumpet throughout the land, saying, let the Hebrews hear. All Israel heard that Saul had defeated the Philistine garrison, and also that Israel had become despicable to the Philistines. Saul took credit. How would you feel if you're hanging out with King Saul, head and shoulders above everyone? You're a fighting man. You're with the king. He is scared to death. He is shaking in his boots. And then a victory is won, and we take credit for it. We didn't do anything. Someone else did. How would you feel about that? Yay. Would it encourage your heart? Would it make you even more scared? That you're a faker. That you're a Pharisee. That you're not real. Guys, what you know in your head has to fall to your heart, what you trust. And then what you trust has to fall through your hands, what you do. Don't jump to the hands first and start doing stuff. You think about what God's given you. You let it sink to your heart. Trust it. Eat it up. Not today. Today. But Monday through Saturday. Don't just come to church on Sunday and expect to get filled. You fill yourselves with the Spirit, with the Word of God, with your personal walk with God Monday through Saturday. Amen? All right. Good. Second thing. So when you spend time with others, when you're obedient, you'll spend time with others who are obedient or who are faithful. The second thing, when you're obedient, you'll see things from God's perspective. Remember, we talked about this last week. What did Jonathan say in chapter 14, verse 6? He said to his armor bearer, come, let us cross over to the garrison of these uncircumcised men. They don't follow God. They're not godly men. We can take them. He saw things from God's perspective. Now, go back to chapter 13 and verse 6. What did Saul do? Saul was fearful of what God had him to do. Verse 6 and 7 of 13. When the men of Israel saw that they were in a tight situation, for their troops were hard-pressed, they hid in caves and thickets and cellars and in dry cisterns and pits. And some of the Hebrews had crossed the river Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was still in Gilgal, and all the people followed him. What's the last thing there? trembling in fear and anticipation. Is that pathetic? Your king, your leader, your master, your commander is afraid, fearful. He doesn't see things from God's perspective, and he's scared to death. How are you going to act? Scared to death. Wow. Then you look at Jonathan. You think God can save by you? Can we trust God? Yeah, there's just two of us. We can do it. If God wants us to do this, we can do it. All right. That's just catch up. That stuff from last week. So the sermon starts right now. It's going to be short, but it's going to be good. So hang with me. The third thing I want you to see. When you're obedient, when you're faithful, when you say yes to God, you're going to appreciate the gifts of others. You're going to recognize others. You're going to see others on the team who are pulling with you for what God wants. Look back at chapter 14 and verse 6. For there is nothing to prevent the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. There is nothing that prevents the Lord from saving by many or by few. What is he saying? God can do anything he wants. Remember a few weeks ago we talked about Elijah and how God showed up in Elijah's life and took care of those 450 Baal prophets, the fire, the earthquake, and then he talks to Elijah in that soft whisper. God can work however he wants. However you've seen God work in your life before, he may or may not work that way again. He may work in exactly the same way. He may work in a way that you have never seen. Remember, the Bible says that the way God works is a mystery to us. We have a different idea of how God should do things. He's in charge. You aren't. Do you trust him? Or would you rather trust yourself? Now, the second part of this, when you're disobedient, you will not recognize the gifts of others. It's all about you. Look at chapter 13 and verse 12. Saul felt compelled to offer the sacrifices. That was not his job. So I forced myself to offer the burnt offering. Here comes the thing. They were waiting for Samuel to come as the priest, as the minister, as the preacher, as the pastor, and administer the blessing. God bless us before we go into battle. That was not Saul's job. That was Samuel's job. Samuel was called of God to do this job. Y'all follow me? Saul was not called to do that job. Saul was called to do this job. And if he does this job and Samuel does that job, God is glorified. But what happened was Saul said, "You didn't show up on my timetable. I'm getting scared. I've decided to do your job because I'm uncomfortable." Now, a lot of times we look at God and say, "I'm uncomfortable with the way my life is," or "I'm uncomfortable with the way you want me to do this. I will take over from here." And a lot of times we'll do things that look good on the outside. He offered burnt sacrifices. Anyone would look at him and say, "Wow, you're a pretty good guy. You must love the Lord. You look like you're doing the right thing." Guys, your hands can be deceitful. Jesus even said about the Pharisees, "The outside, your works, the things that you do, look great. But the inside of the cup, the inside of the man is flat. It's dirty. You got to clean it. Out of the heart flow good hands." If the heart doesn't affect the hands, it's wicked. Stop. Don't continue to do it. Get right with God. Amen? If I'm stepping on anyone's toes, trust me, I've stepped on my own this week. This has hit me square right here. I've got to trust God in everything. You know how many times I've wanted to take control of this situation with the movers? Oh, God's in charge. God's in charge. I've got to trust that. Becca's got to trust that. Our family has to trust that. Whatever issue you guys have, trust the Lord. Now, you're a pretty good-looking group today. Best-looking group I've talked to all day. Do you trust the Lord? No matter how good you are, I'd bet the house on God. No matter how smart, no matter what you've done before, no matter what's happened before, I would bet God on it. That's what I would do. Trust Him. Some of you are saying, yeah, but I've been pretty good. I've been pretty successful. I've done things my own way. I understand. There is going to come a time where you will not know what to do. Trust Him. Trust Him now. Good times and bad, trust Him. So you're not going to realize the gifts of others. One final thing. Acts chapter 6. We have three new deacons. And we have deacon training tomorrow. Yay! Bob gave me one of these. Settle down, Bob. Settle down. Deacon training is tomorrow. The first deacons were in Acts chapter 6. And if you remember this story, the apostles are preaching the word and all that. And I've mentioned this so many times. I'm hoping it's hitting home. And the Greek women, the widows, are not getting their fair share of the food that they need and resources and so forth. So there's some murmuring and all that. Well, the pastors, the apostles, they're spending a lot of time taking care of the tables, getting food to them and so forth. They finally say, look, we're not doing a good thing. We're neglecting what God's called us to do to take care of these tables. And there's no issue there. There's not one that's better than the other. It's just we need to take care of this. Choose some fellows that are of good report, not fellows that know how to take care of tables and chairs, but men of good character and courage and full of the Spirit. Choose seven of them. So they choose these seven guys. You guys have heard that story, right? Do you understand that the issue of this whole story came about? And this is the first conflict in what we call the modern church, the first church of Jesus in Jerusalem in 35 AD or so. Do you understand the conflict was started by not the widows, by leadership? It was started by leadership who forsook what they should have been doing in their gifts and passions and their calling, studying the word, preparing for the messages, reading, praying, and so forth. They forsook that and started doing work that they were not called to do. Y'all with me? Now, it's wonderful that they saw that and they said, hey, as a team, we're called to do this. What are you called to do? Can you do this? Who's called where? Can you do this? You know, we've been filling out these gift analyses for a few weeks. There's still some more out there. In a couple of weeks, we're going to ask you to start pitching in into the church. Where do you fit to the church? This is the same thing in Acts chapter 6. Do you realize that when we don't use our gifts effectively, not just me as an individual, you as an individual, but as a team, there's all sorts of people hurt. Leaders were hurt here because they were doing things that they weren't called to do. And if you're doing something that you're not called to do, you're not going to be very efficient at it. You're not going to be very effective. Y'all get that, right? The second thing, though, there were leaders out in the pews that weren't being called out. There were members that were sitting there and saying, Gary, you have this gift, come and do this. They were sitting there in the pews. By the way, if they had that gift, which they did, to minister to the ladies and to help the widows and all that, I would be frustrated. I'd be sitting in the pew going, how come we're not taking care of these widows the way I would take care of them? Because I have a heart for them. Y'all get this? Thirdly, the membership at large is affected. Because we have ladies, widows, that aren't being taken care of. You know how frustrating this can be? For everyone? Guys, you're called to Sabino Road to be part of God's team here. And every single one of you is wonderful, beautiful, unique. and the way God has crafted you, the passion that He's given you, the gifts and talents that you have. We're here to help you find where you fit at Sabino Road. Not just sit there. We want you to be an active part, an active participant. Saul didn't see that. For Saul, it was all about me. For Saul, it was, hey, I'm the man. Blow the trumpet, I'm the guy. If you're disobedient, you're not going to see the beauty of others. Oh, you'll see the beauty of yourself. But you're not going to see the beauty of others. Amen? Let's stop there. Man, that's a good lesson. We need to stop there. Here's your homework. You guys ready? This week, Monday through Saturday. How many times have I said a Monday through Saturday Christian is what we're looking for? I want you guys to daily set aside time in the morning and do your ACTS work, A-C-T-S, your adoration, your confession, your thanksgiving, your submission. Get your schedule out. Plan your schedule. Put God in it. Are y'all with me? Don't just hope it works out. So that means that before you go to bed tonight, you might have to go to bed a little bit early if you're going to get up and be with God. Amen? Pray, meditate, meet with Him tomorrow morning. Then throughout the day, do that ACTS acronym backwards. So at 10 o'clock in the morning, go back to submission. Submit those things in your life that's already hitting you at 10 o'clock in the morning. Lord, you are in charge. I can trust you. I submit these things to you. Then at about noon, do your thanksgiving. When you eat your meal at noon, thank God, not just for the food, but for everything He's giving you. Take about 10 minutes and do that. Don't just rub-a-dub-dub, yay, God, thanks for the grub or whatever. Pray, thank Him, be with Him. Then at about 3 o'clock, do your confession. What have you done today that needs His attention, that needs His forgiveness? Confess your sins about 3 o'clock. Then later, about 6, 7, 8, whenever, have a time of adoration. Thank you, Lord. Man, what a great day. Remember what He's giving you, a wonderful prize, a wonderful gift for a day of another life. Y'all with me? You know, it's the end of the sermon. You guys can be perky if you wanted to. Y'all with me? Do that this week. You know, a lot of people are saying, well, how do we get to be a better church? How can Sabino Road be a better church? To build a better Sabino Road Baptist Church, we've got to build a better individual believer. We build the believer, we build the church. Amen? Man, love you guys. Love you guys. Yeah. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've given us. Thank you so much for this day. Oh, just another day to be in your sweet earth, to breathe your air, and to feel your love, peace, and comfort. Father, we love you. Again, we confess that this is your church. It's not ours. You're the author of it. You're the owner of it. You're our master. So we lay ourselves on that altar. We put our wants and needs aside. And we ask that you would just indwell us with your Spirit. Oh, Father, we love you. And we know that you love us. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand as we sing.
Sing this with us. Change my heart, oh God.
you really? Has changed my heart. Oh man. So often we're so tempted to change our hands, to do things different, but the heart has to be there first. If you really want exacting change, permanent change, transformational change, that doesn't start with your hands. It starts with your heart. I've got to do this. I trust this. This must happen. Then your hands follow.